Father of Storms. Written by Dean Jones. Produced by Be Here. Episode 7.
Be Here. Bringing books to life. Vision. Without sight.
Chapter 14. The Night Before. Seth made his way down to the edge of the wood to where his father and uncles would be waiting. The morning hadn't gone as he'd planned. The revelation of his new skill wasn't met with the collective enthusiasm he anticipated. Though, as he considered the events, the way Ardith reacted was a complete surprise. In all the years he had known the woman, she had never shown the smallest sign that she would do something like that.
Man knew,
Seth thought, as he continued to slowly drudge his way along the road. Around him, the birds chirped and twittered as they darted from hedgerow to grass, then back again. A breeze picked up from behind him, bringing a storm of dandelion seeds that swirled around him in harmonious synchronicity. Seth watched as the white cloud hovered in front of him. As a child, he believed these were sprites on their way through the air toward their secret lands deep in the wood. Now he knew different. Yet the child inside him still believed these seeds were somehow being controlled as they slowed before disappearing as another breath of wind picked up the dust, then chased them away with it. These curious events that nature provided were usually a source of fascination for him. But not this morning. He was still feeling the after effects of his fight with Ardith. May hadn't said anything more whilst they buried the body. Her lack of discussion was fine with Seth, as he was still trying to work out why he had reacted the way he did. Seth had spent the time digging to go through the events as they unfolded. This was one of the gifts of working with Spey. The mind retained all the information it gathered during its daily routine. Once mastered, you could look back on any moment of your life. Some claimed you could even watch your own birth, though Seth had dismissed this as fantasy after struggling for several hours to recall the day he was born. Each time he replayed the fight in his mind, he considered the possibility that he could have intervened in another way. Perhaps if he had lunged towards Ardith to restrain her earlier, or made a grab for May, then things would have turned out differently. No matter how hard he thought about differing scenarios, each ended the same way. The only thing he could have done to save May was the exact thing he did. His instinct had chosen the correct option, and he had undertaken the deed as required. So why did he feel so bad about it? The path to the wood had taken longer than usual, as Seth spent the time clearing his head of uncertainty about what he had done. He would leave the explanation of Ardith's sudden disappearance to May. Of that, he was certain. He didn't fancy answering the charge of murdering a local Spey woman, especially one who had been earmarked to take over from May. He noticed his father waiting impatiently with Felix and their older brother Raiden. The fact that they were brothers was not something which could be missed. Their blonde hair, blue eyes, and good looks connected them by sight. Each of them had distinguished themselves as warriors on the field of battle, with all playing their part in keeping Mercia free from the rule of those who would seek to take it. It made Seth proud to be from such a distinguished family. Had he not been deep in thought about the morning's events, his chest would likely have swelled at seeing them. As Seth got closer, all three men let out a mighty, if somewhat sarcastic, cheer to announce his arrival. Seth forced the concern of the morning's unpleasantness to the back of his mind to focus fully on the day ahead. He lifted his arms aloft in mock celebration, then broke into a slow jog for the last 100 yards before meeting his father's embrace with a heartfelt one of his own. He clung on as he felt the well-being of emotion building in his chest.
You feeling well, son?
The concerned whisper of his father lifted his head. Seth only nodded and smiled.
Nerves already,
laughed Raiden.
To be expected, lad. None of us looked forward to our wedding day either.
Seth released his father, taking a deep breath to clear his head.
Right then, young Seth. It's time we took you away to give you something to take your mind off your troubles. And a night you will remember in 10 years' time.
Raiden clapped Seth on the shoulder, then ruffled his hair like a child, an act which only highlighted Seth's height advantage over his uncle.
There's no time to waste. We've delayed long enough waiting for you to drag yourself out of bed to get here. We must head for the hunting grounds and await the arrival of your bride's father,
Garrett instructed. There was a general nodding of agreement. The four headed east along the edge of the woods. After an hour or so, they came to a fork in the path where their route took them from the trodden track into the forest. They strolled in high spirits, with all three elder men teasing Seth by telling him tall stories about the life he could expect as a married man. Before too long, they arrived at the clearing, where the valley dipped into the hillside of trees and a small stream wound its way through the woodland. They dropped their packs, then began clearing debris so they could set up camp while waiting for the others. It wasn't long before Garrett spotted them making their way up the slope from the valley below with bows and packs in hand. The three approaching men were smaller than Seth and his family, but it was expected, as there weren't many who could match them for size. They all had long beards with tied back brown hair. As they moved closer, Seth could tell they were both excited and cautious. There was a tense standoff as the elder men weighed each other up. All weapons were placed on the ground between them with a gesture of goodwill and to show no quarrel would be taking place. Garrett moved first and introduced himself with a firm handshake and a hug to each of the men gathered. This broke the tension, adding smiles to the faces of the newcomers. The older men went through the formalities of introductions, then made their way to where Seth stood, waiting.
Warden's beard is a big boy, Garrett. One to be proud of, I'll wager.
Garrett could hardly contain the pride he felt at the compliment he'd been paid. He gazed at Seth with a satisfied smile.
He is a true reflection of his father, I'll grant you that. But he has a little of his mother in there too, though we've tried to knock it out of him over the years.
There was a rumble of laughter and knowing nods which passed itself around the men circling Seth.
Seth, you big lump, this is Frederick. He's your bride's father, and these two are his brothers. One of his own and one of his wife's.
Frederick stepped forward. He carried a firm handshake and a kindly face full of laughter lines and a few deep scars. Bayon, Frederick's younger brother, introduced himself next. They were much alike, except Bayon had a less friendly face and studied Seth with suspicious eyes.
Don't pay attention to Bayon. He's wary of his own children. He believes it's his distrust of everyone that has led him through battle these past years.
Frederick waved dismissively towards his brother, who returned the gesture with a mocking bow and a grunt, before making way for the other man who had travelled with them. This man was different from the others. Seth could sense it, but he didn't understand what it was about him that pricked his interest. He shook his hand, then waited for the man's name. There was nothing but a bright smile and a fixed gaze, which made Seth awkward. He glanced to Frederick with an expectation of support. Frederick only stared back without even so much as a nod.
I'm Seth, sir, son of Garrett. It's good to meet you.
Seth gave the same customary bow he had given the other two, although in his mind he was slightly aggrieved he had made the first introduction. Seth studied at the man's face and took in his youthful looks. He was older than he, but younger than the other men with them. His features were boyish, with the most prominent feature being his long, hooked nose, which sat above his thin lips. His black hair was tied back, with his ponytail resting on the hood of his dark cloak. The man smiled, then returned Seth's bow with one of his own, but still no name. Seth could feel the blood rushing to his head as he started to hear a rhythmic buzzing sound. He quickly dismissed this as his ego took control of matters. He was beginning to become offended to the point of doing something stupid when the man whispered a few words which caught Seth's ear.
I beg your pardon, sir, I didn't quite catch your name.
Seth assumed the whisper was the man's name, and that he had spoken softly to make Seth bow his head closer, significantly reducing the size difference. Another whisper. But this time Seth heard. He was shocked at what the man had said. He gazed intently into the man's eyes in search of any indication he was being jovial.
I said, I smell the scent of death on you, boy.
The man whispered it again, but now Seth was closer to him. He could see his lips didn't move.
Who are you?
Demanded Seth.
And what accusation is it you are making?
Seth's mind raced at this unexpected event. How could this man know? Had May spoken of what had happened already? There were questions Seth didn't have answers to. But perhaps this man did. He could force the answers from him if needed. Quickly, he assessed the man, deciding that even if he had weapons, he posed no significant threat to him. Slowly, he increased the pressure on the arm he held in his hand, bending a little closer to the man's face to give him the most intense, fierce look he could muster under the circumstances.
I asked for your name, sir. I fully expected to be given.
Seth's eyes shone as he centered himself again into the trance he had mastered, enabling full control of his strength and skill while keeping his head clear for decisions as well as Spey.
Ah, I knew you were one with Spey. I can see you have a mastery of it. Unusual for one so young.
Your name.
This time, Seth hadn't spoken the words. They came from his mind unbidden. He felt them leave his consciousness, then enter the man stood opposite him.
Remarkable. Only been exposed to the communication of the mind for a moment, and here you are speaking back to me. Incredible. Our death was right to tell me about you, Seth.
The man drew back from Seth's gaze. Shocked at the mention of Ardeth, Seth released his grip as the man bowed again, lower this time.
My name is Corey. I am your humble servant,
he said, rubbing his arm to get the blood flowing around them. The world began moving again.
We will talk more of this later, young Seth.
He heard Corey's voice in his mind, but knew no others had heard what he had said. Seth took a moment to compose his thoughts as he pushed images of his fight to the back of his mind. Once he regained focus, he realized something he hadn't noticed during his conversation. Both he and Corey were out of time during their meeting. This must be the reason Frederick hadn't responded to his quizzical stare. Corey was also a Spey worker. Seth had never met another man who used Spey before, and this man was clearly adept at it. Frederick moved closer to them both and put an arm around Corey's shoulders, pulling him closer.
Forgive my wife's brother, Seth. He's a Spey worker. And we all know about men who work in the Spey, don't we?
Frederick smiled, then glanced around the gathered men, making kissing shapes with his lips. Garrett smiled with his mouth, but his eyes focused solely on Seth. It was well known that men who chose to follow the teaching of Spey women were classed as equals to those women and were sometimes disrespected or shunned. This was his father's fear the day May told them Seth would be taught. It was why he had insisted it remained a secret for so long. Seth laughed along with Frederick, but made a mental apology to Corey, who smiled, then shook his head dismissively. Corey clearly wasn't bothered about what others thought of him. The fact Frederick and Bayen had brought him along showed they had enormous respect for him and his abilities as a hunter. Pleasantries over, the men retrieved their weapons before starting to plan the night's hunt. It was decided, as it was within the boundaries of Garrett's village, he should lead the hunt to let the luck of the gods be with them. The hunt went well. Corey exceeded all expectations of him by taking the first two kills himself. The first a young doe, the second an elusive hare which he hit with his spear as it made its escape through the undergrowth. An impressive achievement which gave Garrett the cause to give him the same respect he had earned from his brothers. All through the hunt, Seth could communicate with Corey using his mind. Their conversations were deep and informative. Corey told Seth that when you kill someone with Spey, it leaves a smell of the energy around you. It was this he had picked up on when they first met. Seth tried to keep his thoughts to himself as much as possible, as he was guarded over the things Corey asked. He felt that sometimes speaking with Corey in this way was like his mind being searched through by several pairs of hands. To avoid the feeling, Seth spoke aloud as much as possible. Each time, though, Corey returned his answers directly to his thoughts. It was uncomfortable, but the chance to speak with another spey worker and a man was one he was excited about, so asked many questions. But Corey only deflected them with his own questions.
How did your meeting with Amara go, Seth?
This was a recurring question which Seth didn't know how to answer, so had avoided it for over an hour. Seth finally gave in to the question. He told Corey how the Mara had broken to his will on the night they met. He explained that since then he had spoken regularly with them, and that it was these communications which had given him a greater understanding of how energies connected each of us to all other things in the world. They'd been hunting all day. The orange glow of the setting sun could be seen through the trees. Above them, the sky was filled with blues, reds, pinks, and oranges as the light began to give way to the night. Corey stopped, took hold of Seth's arm to lead him away from the hunt. He called to the others to let them know they would set up the fire so they could start cooking the hare for supper. They found themselves back where they had first met. Corey set about clearing a space to bed down a fire.
So the Mara are teaching you, Seth?
Corey didn't look up from what he was doing as he continued to lay the kindling.
Not directly, Corey, but I intend to begin to seek their guidance more. Is there an issue with this?
Seth couldn't keep the threatening tone from his voice. After all, he wasn't sure if Corey was accusing him of something. Corey chuckled to himself, then looked up at Seth.
Relax, Seth. I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm merely interested in your development. The knowledge you receive from the Mara goes some way to explaining your abilities.
Seth settled himself on the ground beside Corey.
You know, Seth, there are many who learn the ways of Spey. Some are taught by those in the village who have the knowledge themselves. These are usually women like May, and some are women like me.
The sarcasm in his voice wasn't lost on Seth. He smiled, despite himself.
But you are something different entirely. In fact, I know not of another who could claim both mastery of magic as well as the sword and spear.
A fire sparked into life inside the small pit Corey had dug.
I'm adept with a bow and can throw a spear during the hunt. But put me into a physical conflict and, well, let's just say it wouldn't end well for me.
Corey held his hands over the tiny flames. Seth felt the energy converge around the man's outstretched fingers as the fire took hold and began consuming the wood.
And to top it all, you have the chance to learn from the Mara themselves,
he stated as he looked up from the fire directly at Seth.
You know that learning spey from Mara is like learning heat from the flame.
Corey added more wood to the fire with the sound of crackling filling the air around them.
When May decided you were to marry my niece, she came to visit and told me all about you, though she failed to mention your other skills. I have known May for a long time, Seth. I trust she had her reasons for keeping this information to herself,
Corey said.
You can be safe in the knowledge. I will not utter a word of you to any.
Seth felt reassured by this. He once again relaxed into the conversation.
So, do you know why our death attacked you today, Seth?
Seth shot his eyes up from what he was doing.
I didn't say she attacked me. Why would you say that?
Seth watched as Corey gave a shrug.
I would think there would be no other reason for you killing a woman, Seth. You don't strike me as the type who would strike people down because they said something you didn't like.
Seth nodded as he considered the question again. He found that even though it had been rolling around his mind all day, he was yet to figure out any sense of her actions. He shook his head solemnly as he rubbed his temples, trying to relieve the buzzing noise which irritated his mind. A quick focus of energy cleared it from his head.
You see, Seth, our death was a curious one.
Seth noted some beads of sweat on Corey's brow as he spoke. He put it down to his proximity to the fire.
May had spotted her potential on the day she was born, and undertook the task of teaching our death herself, much the same as she decided when you were born. Ardeth's parents were delighted at the prospect of May teaching their daughter the ways of Spey, and it soon got around the village old May had finally taken an apprentice.
Corey poked the fire with a stick, then glanced over at Seth, who was now sat paying eager attention to the story.
May came to see me soon after, and brought the baby Ardeth with her for me to meet. I spotted the same in her as May did. I warned her then she should treat this one with caution. You seem confused, Seth.
Seth nodded.
What did you see for you to offer this advice, Corey?
Corey smiled.
I noticed Ardeth was indeed gifted, but within her was a greed and ambition which would not work well with Spey. It is this greed that kept May from teaching her more than the fundamentals, and it was her ambition, I believe, that made her attack you this morning.
Corey gave Seth a quizzical look.
I presume you displayed some mastery she didn't know.
Seth thought for a second, then nodded. He hadn't expected what he had done with the trees was anything more than a step forward in his learning, but the reaction of Ardeth and May had made him reconsider this assumption.
What you need to understand, Seth, is Spey is only a tool for teaching us how to interact with Frigg's energy. As a tool, it can be used in any way the wielder desires. You should also be aware that the energy is not good or evil. It only knows purpose. And when someone who knows Spey reaches out to give it purpose, it is willing to lend itself to that person's will. Unfortunately, some people are only interested in using the energy for their own ends. It is people who are good or bad.
Corey gave a deep sigh as he moved closer to Seth.
You know, there are lots of people like me and May. Unfortunately, there are also lots like our death. It is those you should be wary of, because they will try to trick you into giving them your secrets. If that fails, they will try to take them from you in any way they can.
Corey placed a hand on Seth's shoulder, giving him a warming smile. The buzzing returned. Seth glanced at Corey as he again cleared it from his consciousness. Corey's face had become concentrated in thought, with a bead of sweat again appearing on his brow.
Are you all right?
Seth asked. Corey snapped out of his contemplation with a wave of his hand to dismiss the question.
I am sorry. I was just thinking of our death. Poor soul. But what is done, is done.
There was a crashing noise behind them. Both men turned to the direction it had come from. Seth reached down for his spear as he focused on the darkness which circled the fire. Another sound, this time closer. Seth could feel Corey tense up behind him. Corey slowly reached back towards where he had left his own weapons. As Seth readied himself for whatever or whoever was out in the dark, the sound of snapping branches was quickly followed by an angry squeal as a huge boar charged at Seth with its tusks dipped, ready to inflict as much damage as possible. Seth was prepared, though, easily avoiding the charge of the beast in one turn. In a fluid movement, he thrust his spear into the back of the boar's head as it passed. There was a loud screech as the boar felt the spear point pierce its neck. A moment later, there was a sound of the lifeless body hitting the ground, not 2 paces away from where Seth now stood. Corey moved towards the boar. He removed Seth's spear, passing it back to him with a respectful nod.
Not only are you a skilled manipulator of life energy, but you are also a worthy hunter. My niece is lucky to get such a fine husband.
Seth gave an uneasy smile with an awkward nod of acknowledgement. He was used to compliments about his skills with weapons, but the mention of his upcoming wedding gave him butterflies.
I'm sure it will be me who will be the lucky one, Corey, for if your niece is as beautiful as you and your brothers are wise, then I will be grateful indeed.
It was Corey's turn to acknowledge the compliment. He accepted it with a grateful nod. The sound of the kill had caught the attention of the others. Seth could hear the crashing of branches as they all made their way towards the fire. Seth's father came bursting out of the trees first. Corey immediately rose to greet him. Garrett was quickly followed by Felix, then Frederick, then Raedyn, and Bayon bringing up the rear.
Gentlemen, welcome to our feast.
Corey gave a theatrical bow, then turned to where the boar lay dead.
Master Seth has seen fit to kill a wild boar for his wedding feast on the morrow. I have taken a doe and a hare. What have you brought with you?
The sarcastic tone in his challenge brought a smile to Seth's face, as he could see all were empty-handed. Seth was warm and comfortable that night. Bayon had redeemed himself, with Felix having caught a brace of rabbits and three birds for the pot, making their evening meal a fine one indeed. Seth grew drowsy and gently drifted off to sleep to the sound of the stories floating around the fire. He fell quickly into a dream of a beautiful girl beside an oak tree, which again stood watch over his father's farm. She welcomed him with a loving embrace. The warmth of it touched his soul, and he knew he was home.